Welcome to the Vacation Rental Success Podcast, produced by the Vacation Rental Formula Business School and the creators of the Thrive Training System. Thrive is the key to harnessing the power of your property management team by creating a culture based on trust, hospitality, and responsibility, all while fostering a vibrant work environment. If you want to find out how you can have your team powered by hot dogs, yes, I said hot dogs, then click on the link in the description of this episode to attend one of our weekly live information sessions. You have just found the way to make your business thrive. This episode is brought to you by the kind sponsorship from Lodgify. Lodgify is your all-in-one platform for effortlessly managing and scaling your short-term rental business, from easily publishing your own bookable website to managing all your day-to-day tasks in one place. Whether you're a seasoned host or just starting out, Lodgify simplifies your journey to building a thriving vacation rental business. With Lodgify, not only can you design a stunning website in minutes, but you can accept direct bookings and payments, sync your reservations across all major booking sites, and automate your workflows with tech-driven tools that help you save time while increasing your revenue. It's the smart way to grow your business. Keep your guests satisfied and enjoy what you do, so don't wait to elevate your vacation rental business. Click on the link in the description of this episode and visit Lodgify.com today to start your free trial. Now let's not delay. Let's get started. Here's your host, Heather Bayer.
In today's episode, I'm talking with Valerie Hawkins of Perdido Realty Vacations about her 30 years of managing properties and welcoming guests to the beautiful Perdido Key and Orange Beach area of Florida and Alabama. She's sharing her wealth of experience working with changing technology, changing expectations, and a very competitive environment.
This is the Vacation Rental Success Podcast, keeping you up to date with news, views, information, and resources on this rapidly changing short-term rental business. I'm your host, Heather Bayer, and with 25 years of experience in this industry, I'm making sure you know what's hot, what's not, what's new, and what will help make your business a success. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Success Podcast. This is your host, Heather Bayer, and as ever, I am super delighted to be back with you once again. I've been coming to Gulf Shores, Alabama in the wintertime for the last 15 years, enjoying the white sand beaches and the really laid-back pace of life. And the last 3 years, I've become officially a snowbird, meaning that we plant our wheels. Since we're in an RV, we have wheels, and we stay for 5 months. It's been fabulous. But this year is the first time I've actually gone out to talk to some of the great property management companies that line the roads to the beach. And a couple of weeks ago, we were so delighted to have staff from five of these companies attend a one-day workshop that our company put on in Orange Beach. One of these companies was Perdido Realty Vacations, and we welcomed their founder, Valerie Hawkins, along with her human resources manager, Katie Novak. Perdido Realty has been in operations since 1994, starting with three properties and now with 150 in their inventory. And it's always fascinating to talk to company founders who have been in the industry since before the OTAs took so much control, and to hear how they've moved with the times and embraced new technology and practices without losing the values and the connections with their community that they've built up over time. So we're going to hear all about this from Valerie. We're going to hear about how they've set up SOPs, standard operating procedures that have allowed them to streamline their business. And I'm just going to talk about what she feels about the business today compared to what it was like way back then. So I am super happy to have with me today Valerie Hawkins of Perdido Realty Vacations down here in the gorgeous Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, Perdido Key area that cover the western end of the Florida Panhandle going into Alabama. So welcome, Valerie. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, this is just such a pleasure for me because we only met relatively recently, Verma in Orlando, and
we sort of bumped into each other, right?
We did, and we hit it off immediately, had so much in common, and sat down and talked for ages. And I said, when I come down to Alabama, we're going to get together, we're going to have a coffee. And in fact, we went out to lunch, and then you and Katie came along to the workshop we did, and here we are now, and I'm coming out to see you next week. So loads of connections now, and I'm so loving that we did do this. We got together, and I'm getting to know you so much more.
Me too. And I think for me, the excitement is I literally have an associate and a new friend who has been in the business as long as I have.
That's so interesting because we're going to talk about this. I'm relatively new to it compared to you. I didn't really start until the late 1990s and didn't start my property management company till 2003. But it's like a little band of us that were there before Airbnb.
Right.
Back in the day when we had signs on the lawns and classified ads in the local papers. And anyway, let's kick off. And I want you to tell us about where it all started for you. Back in 1994, right?
Yes, 1994. So I'm originally from Savannah, Georgia, born and raised. And my husband, and I was a social worker for the Board of Education. My husband was in sales, and he had an amazing opportunity offered to sell condominiums in Gulf Shores, Gulf Shores Plantation, which was remarkable. U.S. Capital Corporation, this huge corporation, you know, he had to have psychological testing for the, he went to South Carolina for, it was a big deal. They hired him on the spot. He came home and he said, what would you think about moving to Florida? And now, this little tidbit about me, when I graduated from college, I wanted to travel. I had this wanderlust that was insatiable. So, you know, made a couple of trips with girlfriends up the East Coast. We didn't get much farther than that. And I went to work, right? So there wasn't a whole lot. Oh, and we did go to South Florida once, my girlfriends and I. So went to work, settled down, you know, so there was no travel for me. So moved to Florida. So I didn't, you know, Alan and I had just married, and we had no children together. I mean, he had grown children, but we had no children together. And I had my mom and my brother there, but I was, you know, old enough to leave town. And so literally, he was gone in a week, and I followed him, a month later. I had to finish my job out and get ready to move. So we hit Florida. He had rented a golf. Now, we're young and we're poor. And so he told me, now, look, I don't want you to be disappointed. I haven't been able to really find a great place to live. So, get your mom to bring you down and, you know, we'll make it through. So crossed the Perdido Key Bridge, Heather. You've been over it. I mean, I was speechless. I'm a beach girl anyway. And it was like I was home. And this little 6 mile strip of beach was just magical. So we're following Alan in. We met him across the bridge. We're following Alan to our lodging, I'm going to say. It was a beachfront condominium, brand new, completely furnished. I stepped off my back deck and I was on the beach. So that's how I started here.
I love that. I love that story. Come to the beach and stay forever.
It was, so, for the first month, it was fine. I was shelling every morning, walking on the beach, you know, setting up my household. And I'm very organized. Everything has to be just right. And then what am I going to do? So Alan was in Gulf Shores. He worked late hours. We settled on the Perdido Key side, the Florida side, because he couldn't find a place to live in Gulf Shores. That's pretty significant. So I had done social work for 10 years, and I loved what you said in the Thrive seminar the other day, that and this is so Heather. Heather said, I was sitting in a counseling session because she's a psychologist. And I was sitting in a counseling session and this guy is just spewing all this stuff. And I said to myself, just get it together. So that's my personality. That's her personality. And I so related. And so she said, I want to do something happy. I want to serve people, but I want to do something happy. And that is exactly what happened to me. That at that, the aha moment, whatever you want to call it, that's what we had. And so I got a real estate license. And everybody does that when they move to Florida, by the way. So real estate license, I found out that I was really, really good at sales. And one of our agents said, that's getting a little ahead. But I realized that I could pigeonhole, that's what they teach you in real estate, to pigeonhole people. They're this type, this type, this type. You know, slam all the doors as you're showing them properties and zero in on the one they want. Always keeping in mind that it wasn't about me, it was about them. And I also realized that I needed to serve people in a certain way. Real estate was a good way. It really was. But that wasn't quite enough for me. So Alan left Gulf Shores Plantation. They had pretty much sold it out. He was coming back to Florida. We knew we wanted to stay in Florida. And we had the opportunity to buy a name, Perdita Realty, from a little man who was probably in his 70s, and he had just shuttered the business. He had 3 vacation rentals. We had that opportunity, or, and this was a crossroads, we could go to work for RE/MAX as brokers and be our own. You know, work for ourselves, but through a franchise. So Alan was the one, he's the risk taker. We agonized, I did, he didn't. And so on our final sit down, he said, I think I know that the only way we can go is to buy the company and develop it and make it our own. And I said, okay. So Mr. Al Meadows, we didn't buy a building. We just bought the name. It was a duplex owned by somebody on Perdido Key. But the important thing about Al Meadows for me was when Al and I sat down with him, he said, I chose you to buy this company. He had built it up. He had branch offices everywhere in Pensacola that he, you know, as he aged, he closed. And this was his last one on Perdido Key. And he said, I've worked with you. You've always done the right thing. And I know that you will take care of my business. And he was right. So 3 properties, a hovel of a little duplex that was filthy. And $15,000 later that he financed for us over 5 years. We owned Perdita Realty, and just from the onset. So there weren't that many people on Perdido Key back in 1994 living here permanently. Mm-hmm. There were a number of people working. Everything had on-site managers back then. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So mostly condominiums, so on-site managers. So Alan and I ventured into this business. I had some knowledge of property management just from my contact with managers. I had a cleaning service that I started at a manager's request one day when I was showing property. And she had this horrible looking big heavy man in a white stained t-shirt. And she was in the unit I was showing talking to him, with a clipboard. And I said, who is that? When he left. And she said, he has a cleaning service. He wants to clean for us. And I said, are you going to hire him? She was German. And I said, are you going to hire him? And she said, no. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And she said, I don't know. Nobody's cleaning out here. I don't know what I'm going to do. So guess what I did? I said, well, I'll clean for you. So I started Dirt Busters. Mm-hmm. In conjunction with the real estate. So I never stop moving, and I'm never happy with the quantity of work I'm doing. And so, you know, this was great. Hired the most amazing women ever who taught me everything I would ever want to know about hotel cleaning, you know. Oh, no, Val, you got to tuck those pillowcases and you got to make the bed this way. And you always tuck the sheet. They were fantastic. So I worked right along with them. I wanted to know everything. And so we've got that. We've got the business. Al Meadows was living next door in the duplex. I told this story the other day. I always tell this story. He's no longer with us, so I would never tell it in public if he were still alive. But anyway, so I went in very early every morning because I was cleaning out files with roach poo-poo on them everywhere and trying to, you know, get this place so that everybody felt comfortable working in it. So I opened the door. There's no alarm or anything. I opened the door. Al Meadows had an adjoining door to the next duplex where he lived. Every morning I would walk in and it smelled like bacon and eggs, but through the door. So that morning, all of a sudden, the middle door swings open and I look and there's Al. He was quite a big man in the doorway in his whitey tidy. And I went, oh, Al, I'm so sorry. And he said, no, no, no. And he shut the door and we never said anything about it again. He said, and well, he did come in later and he said, I was still in bed and I was dreaming and I just thought somebody was breaking in. And I said, okay.
It's a good job that was all.
So that was the beginning.
There were so many different ways that could have gone.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. And he, you know, he didn't have one of those Calvin Klein bodies, let me tell you. There were some big whitey-tighties. But it was great. Everything was so, so good and fit. I felt so comfortable doing this and creating this.
Yeah.
So we had, Alan took the real estate side and I had the vacation rental side, even though I sold real estate. And that's what got us through the first year because I was selling real estate as well as running the company. I had an employee that worked with me in Dirt Busters who did bookkeeping for us. And so she came in. I called her and I said, Jean, I don't know what you're doing, but I really need you. And so Jean came in that first year. Jean is sitting right at that desk outside. She is still the gatekeeper. And we had a conversation today before this so that I could get some of my timelines right. And it was so funny. You know, you got two 70-year-old women standing out trying to talk about 35 years ago and forward. And so, you know, it was like, it was hilarious because you forget some of your timelines. So we went from, there was nobody out here. There was one other vacation rental company that was a Century 21 office, and that was it. And so we went from, our first milestone was 25 units within the first 6 months. And we were doing everything on paper at that point. There was no computer program. We had a, Heather knows, the tape chart.
And
it
oh,
was
yes.
It was about as big as my computer screen. And we drew lines with every month. We drew lines. We had one for every month. And we drew lines with markers and had our units down the side and the dates up here. And we would tape. We would literally use colored tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had their own thing, but we used colored tape. So that's how we did it for 6 months. And then a local software company, Genius, Gene Brown was his name, and he developed InTech, which was a DOS-based software, vacation rental software program, and it had trust accounting.
Mm.
And nobody has done it as well as he did it. I mean, honestly, we wish we had Gene's trust accounting. So we had a manual tape chart, but we were able to book reservations on a computer. We had no credit cards. No credit cards. People had to write checks when they got.
I remember it well. I remember that.
So,
well, checks in the mail.
So from that, so we functioned that way. Gene and I were thinking today, 2 years, we functioned in that DOS system. And then he upgraded the program to online within the first 5 years. And we had our first website. My husband, with a computer geek that lived on a sailboat, literally, Ralph Bolden, developed our first website. And it was actually really nice. So my forward-thinking husband bought about six as soon as domains. What did I? 1996. No, 1998. I just pulled the paperwork this morning because I still have it. He bought through Network Solutions PerdidoKey.com and about five others that he's since given away to people. PerdidoBay.com and anyway. So we own PerdidoKey.com. We're on our fifth website. I'm working with ICND now for our fifth website. But so 25 units in the first 6 months, and then we hit the 50 mark after probably a year, year and a half. We couldn't remember exactly. And then our first big milestone was 10 years later, 2004. We were at 111 units. Ivan was a direct hit on Perdido Key and decimated it. We were out of business for two good years.
I didn't know that. I've heard, you know, we hear about Katrina and Michael and some of these, but I'd forgotten about
Ivan. I still get a feeling here when I talk about it because, you know, this is what Alan and I did. This was the only business that we had. And so overnight, and I remember him saying, my mother was in a retirement community in North Pensacola. So we stayed with her. And in the middle of the night, all we had was a little broadband radio. And so he was listening to it. And he said, oh, Val, there's not going to be anything left. It was a direct hit on us. It got us. And at that point, when you get that, any kind of news, health news or that kind of thing, you don't process, you don't hear. And I will tell you, it was at that point in our lives that some very good things happened. But literally, we had three properties. Two we just manufactured by taking furniture that we found because there were no walls left on buildings. We'd call an owner and say, hey, do you mind if we take this furniture? Had a little unfurnished apartment across the bridge, furnished it. I mean, we were literally, we were out of business.
I really had no idea. I'm looking now while you're talking. I'm just looking at pictures from Hurricane Ivan.
And you may see one with our Perdita Realty sign. We owned that building. There's someone walking down the middle of the street and our huge Perdita Realty sign on the side of our building was, that's one of the pictures you'll frequently see.
Oh, right. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah.
And we operated from my home for about 6 months because we had to deal with returning money. I completely moved internet, everything that we needed, people, everything to my house. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We operated out of my home until we found a little hovel. And you think of the funny things, but there was a little corner real estate office, but it had a lot of little compartments. And so they had like a pack and ship place. Well, the pack and ship place also had the back part. And we were in a big central room with one little office. There was a masseuse in the next office, and they walked straight through us to get to the masseuse. There was a tanning bed in the back closet room where people would walk through and go to the tanning bed. So we've got some stories about that. And so one of our realtors is facing that door. And so she hears all this stuff in there, you know, two girls going to a prom. Do you want to tan with your bra on or your bra off? This is in my office. So, you know, that
so
was one.
How did you say 2 years, you were out for 2 years. What happened?
2 years.
What happened after that? How did you recover?
So I went into sales full time and we had Palacio. We had several units and that came back. Most buildings did not come back. So literally we were back in real estate full time. Mm-hmm. For 2 years. And then the property started coming back online. Maintained contact with our owners. I was their gopher for no money. I mean, I did whatever they needed for me to do to help them get back online. So we kept most of our owners. They came back if they didn't sell. So we survived. And the beautiful thing that happened is, you know, we had no power. And so for we had a whole house generator that my husband put in 2 weeks before the hurricane. So we were sort of the base. But as far as like at night, there were no lights. So we grilled. We were, you know, community was so strong. Our neighbors, we met neighbors we'd never known. It was a beautiful experience and we made the best of it. We came back with a vengeance and it was the best summer we've ever had because everything was brand new and we didn't have any maintenance that had to be done. So from those 111 units, we now are at 167. Mm-hmm. You asked me about my vision in the very beginning. That has never changed. I wanted to be a local company. I wanted to be able to be anywhere I needed to be or my staff needed to be within 5 to 10 minutes. So we manage all of those units on a 6-mile strip of beach. And our focus is on customer service. And we work so hard, the housekeeping, maintenance end of it, owner communication, guest communication. We have people who walk through that door who have been staying with us for 20, 25 years. And now their kids are coming.
That is amazing. I love that. I speak quite often to a lady called Daniela Derin, and she runs a company in Marbella in Spain. And she has people that come back year after year, and their families are now coming. The children are bringing their children. But she has this lovely story about a Canadian family that came to her place when she first started, and it was just one Canadian family from this one little village in Ontario. And she said this last year, 17 families came from that same little village.
Oh my gosh.
Over the years, because, you know, people come back over and over again to what they know, they love, and they trust. You know, that's something we were talking about in the workshop, is that
oh my
whole
gosh, yes.
matter of trust. It's something that's getting lost, don't you think,
I
along
do.
The way?
I do. And, you know, you sort of brought us back in that workshop. You brought us back to the word and how to apply it. And I thought, and I told you, 30 years, 35 now, I guess, and I never put trust in that perspective that you gave us. But it is the essence of what we do. Not, you know, and you took it even further. This is owners, guests, employees, and it's so critical. So I love that you gave us that, and then you gave us ways to present it.
Yeah.
And guys, this was a 1-day, 8-hour workshop. Now, I was brain dead when I got out of there because they never stopped. You know, it was Mike and Heather, and I'm like, my God, how much more can they talk? Heather froze one time and said, you know what? It's the end of the day. I loved it. And I thought, I can't believe you've been doing this all day. But yes, so the trust. And, you know, we put a lot of trust in the people, say, that we hire. You know, we can turn that right around. The owners that we accept into our program. And I think about the ones that have really weren't worthy of my trust. Let me just say that. And that would be in all areas. So maybe that's something, another side of it we need to look at too, and some parameters for, okay, how do we determine if they're going to be a trust risk?
Yes, exactly. And I think just exploring that whole thing about, you know, how trust works, and particularly today, because we're becoming less trusting of everything. And I think we have to just spend more time thinking about how we can build trust between us. But there are times, as
absolutely.
You said, with owners where it doesn't work for some reason or other. We have to do that cutoff, which I remember well. I never liked doing that part of it. I'm going to take a short break just now to hear about our sponsor. We're going to be right back with more from this great interview in just a few moments.
Well, it is great to welcome Dennis Klett from Logify. And in this first section, I want to ask you, Dennis, what Logify actually is and how does it work?
Sure, Heather. Great to be here. Logify is an all-in-one software for vacation rentals or short-term rentals. It's essentially everything you need to manage and grow your vacation rental business. In other words, it helps you to get more bookings and save time. Our main customers are private individuals and small property managers. So it's a software really suited to all kinds of sizes. So no matter whether you have one apartment or 20 or above apartments, we would be the great fit for you. And our software has three main modules. The first one would be a site builder, which allows you to easily build your own bookable website to generate more direct bookings, which is great to save on commissions. Then it's a channel manager, which gets you connected to all major booking platforms like Airbnb, Vrbo, Booking.com, and Google Vacation Rentals. And that really ensures that your calendar is always up to date and prices and your content is always up to date on all those different booking channels. And then it's a property management system, or in other words, a reservation system. And that's like a centralized place where you manage all those incoming bookings from all those different types of channels. And that system really helps you to automate the management of these bookings to save you time. So it has a centralized calendar. It has tools to automate your messaging, to automate your payment collection, including installment payments. It allows you to send a quote, automate the authorization of damage deposits and managing tasks. And all of that, we also have in a native mobile app, so you can manage your entire short-term rental business from your fingertips. And we're continuously adding more products and features on top of this. We just recently launched our dynamic pricing or revenue management tool, which allows you to intelligently price your nights so you can make the most revenue off your property. That's what really Logify is about in a nutshell.
That's great. Thank you. Hey, Valerie, let's just shift to marketing because...
Okay.
You know, I remember way back when we did our marketing, we had in Ontario, we had a paper catalogue and you'd advertise in the paper catalogue.
Oh, we did too.
And we'd have this tiny little square that you could put one grainy photo, one grainy black and white photo and about 25 words. So you said, you know, 3 BDR, 1 BR for bathroom, view. And that's all you had. Oh, yeah. That's all you had to...
Oh, yeah. We did on, I forget what that program was back then, Publisher.
I did a
brochure. I think we had 15 or 16 properties. I did a brochure of our properties, no descriptions or anything, but just, you know, the BR, you know, 3 BR, 2 BR, BA. And we would mail it out to remember... How did we book reservations? We got a phone call. And somebody called in and said, hey, you know, a friend of mine, most of it was referral too. And then the beach guide, somebody got the wild idea of doing a magazine that they put in grocery stores. And we paid to have our properties listed. And we got a lot of referrals from the beach guide. So that's how my advertising evolved. We didn't, you know, you're so busy in the very beginning. We've talked about this too. You're so busy doing the day to day and figuring things out. How should I do this? How should I do that? And I know we're going to talk about that too. But you sort of lose sight of the big picture. And I'm a big picture person. And we had no networking.
Yeah, exactly.
I had nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
Nobody. I mean, nobody. It was like, make it up as you go. That was the other thing. Anyway, I think that from a marketing standpoint, if you're talking about marketing now, then and now, it is just like, I mean, it makes me weak. Now, I also want to say that once we ditched InTech and went with LiveRes. And that was in 2016. That was their heyday, 2015. That was LiveRes's heyday. You got a website, integrated software, that was relatively good software for its time. And they had their own marketing team. So we paid for that. So they are the ones who brought me into the more sophisticated, this is what's been going on. And this is why that company in Alabama is getting all the bookings. Oh, okay. So let's just follow through on that. And we were doing SEO, but we had a person doing it who was ineffective. So, and now our organic listing is so high because I have somebody tweaking my quick keywords. I have, a marketing person who does all of that. So there you go.
Are you still with LiveRes?
No. After Inhabit moved in, LiveRes, the people made LiveRes. This was a group of young professionals that were in it to make their partner successful. Mm-hmm. And there was never a doubt. You talk about trust. When anytime you have an acquisition, people just go away. The culture goes away. And that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's legacy software. There was nobody left. They had one or two people, but they couldn't handle everything. Legacy software. So you couldn't. They didn't know how to work the platform, right? To work on the platform. So things were breaking right and left. So we are currently, we went from, I love Kirsten King. Okay. So are we going to go from being a big fish in a little pond or a little fish in a big pond? And so we're both with Track now.
Yeah.
So that would be the little fish in the big pond. And the software is very sophisticated. I did it for the pricing tool. Mm-hmm. I like that is an option because we do dynamic pricing, but I work with a revenue manager who will work with me on manual. Mm-hmm. I don't use a company to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, sort of the way we were going, I think, at about the time that we sold our company, that we were definitely looking at alternative property management systems, and Track was way, way out there in front.
Yeah.
And just because of what was incorporated. I mean, we know that you can't have any one company that will do absolutely everything
perfectly. No, and I have always said that. We do our workarounds because we've been doing it for so long. So, Gene, they've made changes in Track because of Jean. Jean is brilliant when it comes to trust accounting. Mm-hmm. She's been doing it for 35 years, if you can imagine. So they are effective. And I needed their pricing tool. And so that was ultimately why we signed with them.
Yeah.
And the onboarding was great. Support can be a little slow. But if you look at the big picture, we don't have any problems with Track.
So you've had, there's been so much technology come on board over the last 30 years. What were the game changers for you over time and what tech are you using now?
So obviously LiveRes changed everything. Every aspect of this company was changed. Our pricing, the networking. One of the things that, I don't know if you call it my tech stack, but EOS, that was also Advisory Board 5 with LiveRes. And Brooke Fats was the vice president of LiveRes at the time. And we had AB5 had a retreat, same retreat where I met Travis in Park City. And so he brought in via Zoom, but he brought in one of the key, I don't know if it was a founder of EOS, but it was close. And so we had a Zoom meeting with him. And then after that, he brought in Mark, I can't remember his last name, from Culture Index. Mm-hmm. And so he started putting together a picture of, and he was using the EOS model and telling us that he was using the EOS model in our group meetings, which was so cool because we got to see, So then we had the option when we left there to pay for the course and go through it, which is what I did. Because if there was one fail that I had, it was in team management because I tended to give people full rein with and not structure, you know, not have a business structure, an accountability structure. So I would probably do it a little differently with what I know now.
Yeah.
And I would definitely put some sort, any upstart. It's never too early. It's costly, and you don't always have that money when you start up. We didn't. But I think it is so important. I didn't have core values in place. Mm-hmm. Remember, no networking to talk to other people. And I don't have a business degree. So that came from EOS. And within 1 year, this company totally transformed.
That is so interesting. I'm hearing so many people talking about EOS right now.
It's very popular now. I'm noticing. And I think it's because, you know, it brings everything into perspective. The other thing is HR. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, EOS has some people use Culture Index and some use PI. I've used both. They're similar. I know I took the course in Culture Index, so I'm more comfortable with it, but I think they say about the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you have got to have some structure for hiring. Now, I was lucky enough to find Katie. I hired her as a front desk person. She was in college and needed a full-time job, but, you know, with her school days off. And Katie's majoring in HR. So Katie came in, and I realized right away her potential. So with her coursework and what she's doing, she basically has structured an interviewing process that is magic. The people she's hiring are without Culture Index or PI. I mean, but I know this is a one-off, but this is where we've ended up. And with our EOS, and it may be the EOS and the fact that we really do have core values and principles. They have changed in 10 years because after COVID, I started with a whole new staff, entire new staff, right, except for Gene. And so we went from, how do you go from a culture of, you know, all women over 50, which is what I had, to a whole room of 30-somethings. Mm-hmm. It's totally different. And that, too, has transformed the company because I rely on them, old school. So how about your every job you've had? You know, you give 100%. If you are sick and you can still walk and talk, you go to work, you know. And that's just not the way it is now. And so, you know, so we have to adapt. Not to the point that it affects our businesses, a detriment to our businesses, but we have to write procedures differently than we did.
So I want to talk about that writing of procedures.
Yes, I know.
Because, you know, that's something that that we've talked about over the last few months is standard operating procedures and the fact that you now see them as a really solid foundation for your business. And I've talked to a lot of people who said, you know, well, I don't really understand what these are and why should we have them? So I thought, you know, you would be a great person just to put that in a nutshell about, you know, the importance of an SOP.
Yes. So thinking back, I think I always had SOPs, but they were written as a checklist. Mm-hmm. Right? And none of them connected. There was no continuity from housekeeping to maintenance to guest services, you know, because some of those work. Now, I told you I was big picture. So when Scarlett came in after COVID as in guest services, almost immediately, she was promoted to guest services manager. Her personality is just, she's a people handler.
Yeah.
And we had a consultant and who was pushing her to write SOPs. And that's when it started. She took it on. The first one I read, I went, oh, we've been missing the boat here, haven't we? And I sent them all to you. They're very detailed. They're but they're readable and they're workable. When you read it, some are rules, some are actual procedures, and whatever else is in there. I've read them all, but I don't remember them. And that's so totally not my area. And I think when we talked earlier, I said, you know, I wasn't the best person to be, you know, to be doing this. So we worked together on some. She knew nothing about housekeeping. I know everything about housekeeping. So she and I would give her the checklist and everything I had, and then she would start it, and then she'd say, but now I have questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would read through them together, and I'd go, no, that's not quite right. We need a different order, or we need another practice for what happens for this. So we live by them. Oh, my God, and she changes them every week. Something happens every week. You know, absenteeism. Mm-hmm. All of that is in there. Employees, you know, a vacation. It's all in there. Now, we have a manual also. But these SOPs, if she has somebody that isn't doing what they're supposed to do, then she refers to the SOP and says, now, remember, if you can't make your shift for a day, you're supposed to contact the other two people who may be off to see if they can cover for you.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is in there. And there's no question.
This is something that that we were just beginning to put together when we sold our business, because very similar to yours. It was family business, started out in the early 2000s. The first hire that we took on is still with the business now, 20 years later. And she has so much in her head that when we were taking on new staff, then we would hand them over to Sandra for a couple of days, you know, take them through the property management system, take them through the booking system, the reservation system, and she would do all that. And then we realized that, okay, so what happens if Sandra is not here? She's got all this in her head, and there is no one else who can do it like she can. So that's when we began that process of putting everything down and making it into a roadmap, into a blueprint for the business.
Because it's consistency.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Jean told me when we started the SOP process and Scarlett did it, she said, you know, I walked in here and you showed me everything, but I didn't really know what I was supposed to do, so I just made it up.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that's how employees feel when they walk in. If you can't hand them the manual, she makes it personal. She goes online and gets these stupid, they're like gifts almost. And she pastes that on there and she puts the prints out with the which manual it is, front desk manual, and she's got their personal name on the bottom of it. Mm. And so it's a big deal. And so for days, they sit there while they're not busy and read through that manual. Then she'll quiz them every week.
Yeah.
Pop quiz.
Yeah, that is brilliant. You know, we're getting a little bit close to our time here. And there's a couple of questions I still have that I want to pose to you. One is about community involvement, because I know ever since you first started, you've been involved and active in the community. How important is that to you and to the company culture?
Well, for me, I grew up with Perdita Realty. There were only three or four condominium buildings when we got here. So I have watched it grow. I'm very protective of it. I don't involve myself in politics, but I follow it. And you know, if we need to support a cause, we do. I'm very involved in our local chamber because there, most of the money allotted for chamber goes to the Pensacola Chamber, not the Perdido Key Chamber. So we support large events financially, and we always have a staff member. Like right now, one of our realtors is on the board of directors of the chamber. And so if I'm called to help, then I do it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I would like to do is I'd like to for my team to be more proactive in beach cleanup, things like that. Unfortunately, our staff is so small and we work weekends, which is when it usually happens. So we're looking for ways that you know, that we can mm-hmm. can help. All of our furniture and things that owners don't want, we give to the local redemption center, which is 100% volunteer, and every penny goes into backpacks with food for schools for children who need it.
I love
and
that.
They take them home.
Love that. We were running a panel yesterday on sustainability and sustainability initiatives. And that was one of the initiatives, was about volunteering. It was about giving back to the community.
Yes.
So
yes.
Loving that. Valerie, when you look back, what have you been most proud of in your 30-year plus journey?
Oh, my gosh. That I have made it this far. And that I still, my claim to fame is, I run rings around my 35-somethings. They tell me all the time. And that the legacy, the reputation that we have built, it was my vision. And we are fulfilling it. We are always working, striving to be better. What more can we do? And I'm proud. I'm just so proud that to see something go from the ground up. I have built something that is important.
Mm-hmm. You're a member of the 100 Collection. What does that mean to you? Because that means that you have achieved some really, really high standards, and they are picky.
They really are. So Travis Wilburn, the founder, the creator, I have to say that, because Travis had this concept in his head 8 years ago, maybe, or maybe it was only, probably 8 years ago. He started, and you'll hear, because I know that you two are talking, but he just has these ideas. And so it started out as standardization, mm-hmm. because that is one of the things that he was looking for. But then it evolved into people who go the extra mile for safety. Quality doesn't have to be luxury. Mm-hmm. It just has to be the best of what it is. Maintenance, just people who do better, who want to present a product like the Michelin 5-star mm-hmm. program is sort of what it was fashioned after for vacation rentals. And the one thing that he said, it's the trust. Because one thing he said to us when he finally pulled it all together was, I want someone to look at this logo and know that everything is going to be okay and more than they expected.
Mm-hmm.
That is that trust. So there you go. That pulls it all together.
Well, it really does. It really does. And you said a couple of things in just in this last minute or so, you know, trust, quality, standards. This is a lot of this industry seems to be shifting a little bit away from that.
Yes, and the people. And I have to say, I'm disappointed that we've moved into technology to the point that there's very little personal contact. Mm-hmm. With not me, because we still answer the phone. There's no auto-attended greeting on our phone. But and our people still check in at our front desk. They can leave if we have keyless for the unit, then if it's on there, then they can check out that way. But we want them to, we are people. Mm-hmm. We want to know the people. We want the people to know us. That's huge when you talk about trust.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's booking a reservation online, they get an automated, okay, here are your instructions, and then they get one right before that says, okay, let's go over this again, and then they get, it's 4:00, your unit is now ready, here's your code to go open the door. I have a real problem with that. And it's me. I know that it works, and I know logistically for some people it has to be. For some people, just with distance, you can't. You have to. But there are other ways to make it more personal.
Yeah, indeed there are. Yeah, we have come up to our time, Valerie. I can't believe this has gone so fast.
Well, I talk a lot.
And we'll be talking again soon. But I just want to thank you so much for sharing this journey with us and wishing you every success for wherever the journey continues to take you.
It has been so much fun.
I love, you know, from this conversation, one thing I really got was about your team. Jean, who's been there with you from the very beginning, and then all the way through to Scarlett and Katie, who are a new mm-hmm. generation of mm-hmm. people. But they all come together to deliver to Perdido Realty the soul of your company. And you are at the heart of that. So congratulations to all that. And I'm so looking forward to working with you and your team as we go ahead with Thrive.
I can't wait. I mean, you know, you're going to do great things. I want to be a part of that.
Well, you definitely will be. Valerie, thank you.
We will definitely reap the benefit.
Thanks,
Heather.
Much.
Bye.
Thank you, Valerie. That was such a great conversation. I'm really enjoying these discussions I'm having with these business owners to hear how they have grown and developed and met all the challenges that they are facing with changes in technology, in particular, changes in economies and changes in guest expectations and owner expectations, of course. So we're going to be continuing to do this. I've got a couple more interviews in the pipeline with other property managers down here in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. If you're a property manager and you have seen changes, of course you have. And if you have a story to tell and you want to share that with our audience, I would love to hear from you. Please send me an email at heather@vacationrentalformula.com and I will get back to you and perhaps we can arrange to schedule a chat. That's it for this week. It's been another great time talking about our industry, and I look forward to many more to come. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, if you want more information about the Thrive training system, you need to attend one of our weekly live information sessions. Click on the link in the description to secure your spot. Thrive is the perfect training to supercharge your existing property management team and onboard your employees in the best way possible. This episode was brought to you by Lodgify, the all-in-one solution that will help you start, manage, and grow your short-term rental business. Click the link in the episode description or visit Lodgify.com today to start your free trial.
It's been a pleasure as ever being with you. If there's anything you'd like to comment on, then join the conversation on the show notes for the episode at vacationrentalformula.com. We'd love to hear from you, and I look forward to being with you again next week.